Can you give us a sort of elevator impression of what your practice is?
So my art practice is primarily focused on urban sound in the city, both as like, I guess, coming at it from an academic perspective, but also on a layman's level, just as a city dweller. And I focus on the soundscapes of the city and how I can reprocess sound in ways to create like quite immersive soundscapes. And it's also, I guess, a lot of my practice is also like a therapeutic practice. I find like the noise of the city stressful a lot of the time, as I'm sure a lot of people do. So by like repurposing these sounds and listening to them and appreciating them, I change the way that I listen on a daily basis, if that makes sense.
When you say sounds of the city, could you sort of describe what sounds you might be talking about? Like, what would you think of as a quintessential
sound
of the city?
Yeah. So, like, noise. I guess, like, noise, like, sounds that are consequential of human life in the city. Not so much voices. Like, I do use those sometimes in the work and, like, the actual, like, sounds that people emit purposefully as humans. But things like, I love construction sites, and I was obsessed with air vents for a while. At the moment, like, I really like finding like urban water and skate parks. Really got into skate parks in this residency. Just the bangs and clangs and the roadside generators and footsteps and buses passing.
And so you're based up here in Tamaki, but you've been down in Wellington for 2 weeks on residency with the Pyramid Club. And do you think, I mean, is there a different sonic tone down there?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I find the sound of Wellington very different sonically to Auckland. I think a lot of it has to do with the architecture in the city in some ways, because the buildings are lower. It also affects the way that the noise of cars emanate through the city, and there's a lot of high-speed streets. So I actually found that in spite of the fact that there seem to be less cars around Wellington, they sound louder, which I sort of took a while to click to, because while you're trying to record, that's obviously like something that comes through. I also like, obviously, the wind in Wellington makes a huge difference to the sonic soundscape, not just because of like the sound of the wind, like the obvious things, like just it blowing through the air or blowing through trees, but you also get little resonances that you can often hear, like if you perk your ears, like a little whine, like a synthesizer sort of thing when the wind is like picking up a hole or just twisting itself around an object. The flags at the waterfront, one of my favorite things I found, sound very percussive, the wind coming through. There's also just a lot more public water areas, like the beaches on the coast of the Wellington city. I mean, there's so many things. There's lots of things that are quite obviously different about the soundscape here.
Did you approach the Pyramid Club with a specific project you wanted to do, or was it kind of a open-ended studio residency?
So they sent me an email asking me to do the residency sort of out of the blue, and they wanted me to do a site-specific installation. So from that, I sort of proposed to them that I knew straight away, like I had a vision in my head that I wanted to do a multi-speaker work, and then I wanted it to be with the speakers mounted in the trees, and I wanted the space to be a space that people could freely move throughout the trees without much trouble, which actually, in terms of you know, like city green areas, it's actually not a super easy area thing to find, like, especially when you think about, like, in Tamaki Makaurau, like, most of the parks there are, you know, like, just plain green lawns with trees around the edges. To have a quite a large area that people can wander around was, like, my first sort of challenge to find. And I knew that I wanted to also use field recordings that were taken from during my residency.
So last night, you know, we're recording on Friday, and on Thursday night, you had the kind of exhibition of the residency, and you had 15 speakers installed in the forest by Newtown. Am I right?
Okay. So it was 12 speakers in the end. So I realized like the dodecaphonic is actually the way that you split, having an even number is a lot easier to work with. And so if you're using 14 speakers and then you split seven, like something in my head about having an even number in terms of like the panning 12 just made a lot more sense. And yeah, so it was up in this area of pine forest that's also used as a mountain biking track, like during the day. So the ground is quite bare, it's quite a stark, bold area. And then it's on a ridge line. So on, you can see both sides of Wellington from the hill where it was situated. Like on one side you can see the harbour, and then the other side you can see going down into Newtown. It's quite a picturesque spot. And yeah, we held it there. It started just before sunset, and it finished right when the dark had settled in, right before nautical twilight. So civil twilight is that time between sunset and the sun being 6 degrees below the horizon. It's when it's light enough that you can see the horizon, but you can also see the stars.
So how long was that?
So it was a 42 minute, it was a 20 minute silence of start, and then 42 minutes made up of a number of pieces, seven pieces that I made during the residency, seven different sound works.
And was each of these sound works for 12 channels split?
Yes. So yep. Everyone was made with 12 channels. And so I'd never actually done a multi-speaker work before. And I've also never made soundscapes or music on my computer. So a lot of the residency was actually just like learning how to do these new things and really having the time to involve myself on that. And so I guess in some ways, each piece was also sort of demonstrating the different ways that I'd been learning to utilize the speakers and just experiment and play with this multi-speaker setup. Like the first one was a dusk chorus. So I made, I guess, my version of, if you imagine the animals and birds at dusk were actually human noise, sort of repurposed, that were calling to each other from all over the forest from the different speakers. And then like there was one that was just a field recording that I'd taken when I'd first got into the city. The first thing I did was go get some pizza and a beer, and this Somalian church baptism procession came parading down the middle of Newtown. And like obviously 12 channels, what do you do with like one? Just it was a phone recording, actually, voice memo phone recording. You mix the sounds so that you can split them apart, so you know, like the singing part of that recording is over here, and then the drums and the bells or whatever are moving around to give this illusion that you're in the midst of the parade sort of thing. And stuff like that. I did get pretty hard into the panning towards the end.
Are you mostly using like a Zoom recorder or a cell phone, or how kind of teched up were you?
Well, I've actually been using my voice memo recordings on my phone for the past, year and a half. But I used my residency buck, so went out and bought a new Zoom recorder when I got here, and a wind sock, very importantly, for here.
Yeah.
So, yeah, nothing super fancy. Like, I'm not using any super fancy microphones or anything. I could, but, you know, I just haven't picked one up yet.
And purely logistically, to install 12 speakers in the woods, how do you power those?
Oh, yeah. Okay. So the 12 speakers I had are all wireless speakers, and they take SD cards. And what we'd done is we'd tied Velcro to the trees, and there's Velcro in the back of the speakers, and we like Velcro them in the trees. But beforehand, to get the whole piece to sync, there's three of us. We will have two fingers on two SD cards, and we go 1, 2, 3, and we shove them all down into the speakers at once, so it syncs, and you hear them all go SD card mode activated. And you know, if there's one that doesn't say it at the same time, now you have to start all over again. Yeah, so that's how we did it.
And so will you be coming back here, back up to Tamaki, and kind of working with some of this material still, do you think?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Like, I think that this residency, I've sort of I've done a lot of things that I've been meaning to do for a really long time, but never sort of found the focus and the to do it. And it's definitely like I pretty much like want to come up to Auckland, finish the piece, well, continue working on the pieces that I presented to a degree that I could maybe like release it as a, I guess it would be a stereo. release the track stereo, but somehow create the illusionistic sense that it's still 12 speakers. And then I do want to create, I guess, a piece using a similar show using cities from Tamaki Makaurau as well.
As a artist working with sound, do you kind of think about a potential, you know, it's where you put it, like a release version and an installation version when you are kind of mixing?
In this project, no, not at all. I never considered that I would release these works, and I just had a couple of people come up to me afterwards and say, like, are you going to release these? Are you going to put them up online? Can I download them? And I thought, oh, wow, people actually want to listen to this outside of this space. Okay, so after the show, I actually went and packed up my studio, and I came home and I straight away opened up like the files for the last track and started listening, like, how can I make demo this in a way that will do justice to the 12 speaker version.
Do you have anything else coming up in the immediate future with your practice?
I might release a demo of that, of that last track from the show, but otherwise no, not really. I think like this year, in regards to the, you know, everything that's going on with live shows and stuff, I definitely had it in my head that I'm gonna spend the year tinkling away privately and getting some big stuff together to release next year or the end of this year. But who knows, because I have already done a show publicly and it was pretty fun, so maybe I'll get roped into some more.
So that was Tash van Schadenberg talking about their residency at the Pyramid Club, and keep an eye out because they will be performing around Tamaki in the next year. That brings us to the end of our interviews for this morning. I've still got an art guide coming up later on, but we'll jump into some tracks now. This is a classic Bomb the Bass with Beat Dis. After that, we've got some Headland. Stay tuned to Artbank. I'll be with you for another half an hour.